Waller. I'm the branch chief for Diablo Canyon from the USNRC's Region 4 office. With me here tonight, I have Tony Vega, who is the deputy director of the Division of Reactor Projects, also out of Region 4 in Arlington, Texas. Troy Pruitt, who is the deputy director of the Division of Reactor Safety. On the end is Michael Peck, who's the senior resident inspector here locally. He works at the Diablo Canyon Power Plant. Additionally, in the audience tonight, we have Tony Brown, who is also a resident inspector here at Diablo Canyon. We have Tom Farnholtz, who's the branch chief for the engineering branch in the Division of Reactor Safety. And in the back is Victor Drix, our Region 4 Public Affairs Officer. Mr. Becker, would you like to take a moment to introduce your staff here tonight?
Yes. I will in just a minute. Okay, so Lauren, can you start with the introductions, please?
I'm Lauren Sharp. I'm the Senior Director of Engineering Services.
I'm Eric Nelson. I'm the Licensing Basis Verification Project Manager.
I'm Ken Peters. I'm the Station Director.
Jim Becker, Site Vice President, Diablo Canyon.
Thank you. Some background for the meeting tonight. Starting in 2008, the NRC began to identify in the inspection findings at Diablo Canyon Power Plant a theme associated with inadequate problem evaluations. Recent inspection findings have continued to identify a theme in this area, and in 2009, in our annual assessment letter, the NRC identified a substantive cross-cutting issue in problem identification and resolution associated with the theme and inadequate problem evaluation. The NRC continued this theme through our mid-cycle assessment letter this year. The purpose of these substantive cross-cutting issues is to draw attention to an area where the NRC has identified a potential for future problems, to give the licensee an opportunity to put more attention, more resources into an area to head off potential for future problems in that particular arena. As part of the response to the cross-cutting issues, Diablo Canyon Power Plant, actually Pacific Gas and Electric, initiated the Diablo Canyon Licensing Basis Verification Project. We're here tonight to hear a discussion for in order that we may answer as many of your questions as possible, we ask that you take a moment to write down your questions on the index card. And if we don't have the time or the expertise available here this evening to answer your questions, we will be able to get back to you. So please ensure that you have contact information that's clearly written on the card so we know who you are and how to get in touch with you. Before I go any further, I would ask that all attendees, before you leave, if you hadn't done so on the way in, to please sign in on one of the attendance sheets that was at the table out in front of the room. Additionally, we have feedback forms available on the table out in front. We would appreciate if you could take time to write down, to fill out a feedback form, give us your comments. We do use those in an effort to improve our outreach to our public stakeholders and improve the public meeting process. So please take the time to fill one of those out. Before we turn over to Pacific Gas and Electric, I'd like to ask Tony if you have any comments to start us off.
First, I would like to thank you all for coming. And thank you for your interest in Diablo Canyon. The best part of the meeting is the question and answer period, where we get to hear some of the questions and concerns that you may have so that we can address those issues. And also, after the meeting and after the question and answer period, we will be available to talk to you all if you have any questions or comments. What I was going to try to do is provide some context to this meeting. In the course of inspecting Diablo Canyon, to ensure that it's being operated safely, the NRC looks at all the facets of plant operations and all the activities involved with it. We look at operations, maintenance, engineering, radiologic protection, security, as well as emergency preparedness. We also look at programs and processes that transcend all these areas. In particular, we look at how Diablo Canyon identifies, evaluates, and corrects issues. We have the expectation that there's a low threshold for issues and a very high standard to ensure that the issues are thoroughly evaluated and corrected. In a year, Diablo Canyon identifies and documents over 1,000 issues. Some of these are not even problems yet, but are being addressed and actions are being taken before they become problem areas. For the majority of the issues, Diablo Canyon does a good job identifying and evaluating and correcting issues. But in the course of our inspections, and some of the inspections we've conducted is the routine resident inspections conducted by Michael and Tony, as well as from special inspection from the regional office. Or we also have component design basis inspections, as well as problem identification. To improve performance in this area, Diablo Canyon has initiated the licensing verification process. Tonight, we're here to discuss this project, how it will be implemented, what it will accomplish, and when it will be completed. So with that, I'll turn the meeting over to you, Mr. Becker.
Thank you. So what you see in front of you right now is the agenda. And I think Mr. Vagel stated very well the purpose of the meeting, and I will say that the material we intend to cover, I think, goes right after the purpose that you stated. We will start out with an overview by Lauren Sharp, our Senior Director for Engineering Services, about the licensing basis verification project itself. You will hear us refer to it by the abbreviation LBVP, but that is the licensing basis verification project. Eric Nelson, our project manager, will then go into some detail about LBVP itself. Ken Peters, our station director, will then provide an overview of actions we're taking at the plant outside of LBVP to improve evaluation thoroughness, and then I will complete our presentation with a summary. So by means of introduction, one thing I want to make clear to the agency in tonight's meeting is that our company, Pacific Gas and Electric, is committed to the licensing basis verification project, and that has been made clear to me by senior company executives, including the chief nuclear officer. We started this project in the spring. We have been executing the project since that time, as Eric Nelson will tell you about in more detail, and we are on track right now with our intended course on this multi-year project. I do want to point out a few of the key aspects or the principles that we think are very important to doing a quality job with this project. The first is benchmarking. Several other U.S. nuclear stations have been down this path, and we have learned from them, we have benchmarked them, and we have taken their lessons learned and their approaches as appropriate into our methodologies. Independence is a key to a successful project outcome. Eric will provide you with several aspects of our project methodology that support independence. And finally, we are committed to a thorough project. And again, in T9 licensing basis evaluation program. We've provided new training, we've revised the procedure, and new qualifications for employees who perform 5059 evaluations. Our licensing basis, we are completing licensing basis training now for plant individuals about the licensing basis itself, how to interrogate the licensing basis, and the importance of maintaining it. And likewise, our final safety analysis report, or FSAR, we have made procedure changes already to ensure that our standards for maintaining the FSAR are fully in keeping with industry expectations, and more training will follow before the end of the year in that area. So my point here is that there are other actions that we are taking and that we have been taking and are putting in place to ensure that the benefits of this project are maintained. And then finally, as I said earlier, Ken Peters, our station director, will give us an overview of actions we're taking beyond LBVP to improve evaluation thoroughness at the plant. I want to point out that we did a root cause assessment of the cross-cutting issue that Mr. Vagel referred to. In that root cause, as Ken will describe to you, we did identify the need to improve our leadership, oversight, and management of station programs, such as a few I just talked about. We also identified, as you referred it, that our licensing basis should be enhanced to better provide for problem evaluation. That is the purpose of the LBVP. Ken will be talking to you about other aspects of our actions based on that same root cause. And with that introduction being complete, I want to turn it over to our Senior Director for Engineering Services, Lauren Sharp.
From a project overview of licensing basis verification, we observed during the last portion of 2009 and during the first portion of 2010, inconsistencies were identified in the Diablo Canyon licensing basis. Many of them were legacy issues, some of them from the original licensing basis. Based on the number of items identified, Diablo Canyon has undergone this licensing basis verification project, which started this spring. The licensing basis verification project will improve our performance in identifying, consolidating, and reconciling the inconsistencies in our licensing basis. The project will also enhance our licensing basis and provide tools that will support the program. Diablo Canyon, we have selected one of our most experienced managers to lead this licensing basis verification project. Eric Nelson is a senior manager, and he is the assigned project manager for this activity. The success of this project is important to Diablo Canyon, as well as senior management, so Eric will report directly to me as we implement this licensing basis verification project. And now Eric will describe some of the details of that project.
Lauren, I had a quick question before we jump into that. You mentioned that several of the issues were legacy issues. Can you help me understand what you mean by a legacy issue?
From a legacy standpoint, if we look at the legacy definition, which is typically greater than 3 years, we had a number of them that were greater than 3 years, with some of them branching all the way back to the original documentation.
So does that mean the item was known to the facility for that more than 3 year period and not acted on, or
no? It just means that it had existed for that period of time in our licensing basis when it was identified.
So that condition had existed for more than 3 years.
That's correct.
All right, but it wasn't necessarily known to the facility for that.
That's correct.
Duration of time. It was known through the current discovery of the project. Is that right?
From a legacy standpoint, we're just saying it existed in the licensing basis for more than 3 years, but we were not aware of it until the issue was raised.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Lauren, could I ask a quick question also? Given the observers here at the meeting, it might be useful to just briefly describe what the current licensing basis is, what that means, and how that's used and is important to reactor safety.
I think I'll let Eric do that if you don't mind, Michael. He has quite a bit of information on that.
Thank you, Lauren. I'm going to be providing more details on the licensing basis verification project. I'm going to start with a summary of the project, and as we go through the slides, you will see more details. So at a summary level, the project is going to accomplish the following things. It will identify, consolidate, and reconcile any inconsistencies in the Diablo Canyon current licensing basis documents. It will perform a review modeled after component design basis reviews, or CDBRs, for 8 risk significant systems after the corresponding system licensing basis is verified. The project will reconcile any identified going into the future. So I'd like to cover some of the benefits that Diablo Canyon will be receiving as a function of performing this project. First and foremost, the main benefit for us will be an enhanced clarity of the Diablo Canyon current licensing basis, including our final safety analysis report, or FSAR, and it has been mentioned, elimination of any inconsistencies therein. A second significant benefit for Diablo Canyon will be enhancements in the content of our current licensing basis electronic document databases and associated full-text search capabilities, which we will be implementing as well. Additionally, we will have an enhanced ability to maintain and to use our current licensing basis. At a high level, What we are striving for is a current licensing basis for Diablo Canyon, which is easier to understand, easier to search and to find, and easier to maintain, enhancing our evaluation thoroughness now and in the future. I'd like to go over the project's scope, if I may. The project has been broken into two phases. The first phase started earlier this year and is approximately 95% complete. In phase one, we have reviewed and evaluated the component cooling water and auxiliary feed water systems. We have also reviewed our current licensing basis databases and identified specific improvements and defined the desired capabilities for an improved full-text search tool. As part of the review and evaluation, we have performed the following. We have reviewed the original safety evaluation report, supplemental safety evaluation reports, license amendment safety evaluations, and all the incoming and outgoing NRC correspondence for the CCW and AFW systems. We have also identified and reviewed all of the 5059 screens for calculations, surveillance test procedures, emergency operating procedures, design criteria memorandum, technical specifications and their bases, equipment control guidelines and all modifications, and we have reviewed and evaluated all the 10 CFR 5059 evaluations for those systems. The Phase 1 project has also provided a preliminary removal of the gross failed fuel detector, which was done in 1989. This same equipment removal has been done by numerous other nuclear facilities. The issue raised in Phase 1 of the licensing basis verification project was whether prior NRC approval should have been required. As a result of that issue being identified, we are going to be re-performing the 5059 evaluation, and if by this process it is determined that prior NRC approval should have been obtained, a license amendment request will be processed.
So, Mr. Vagel, I think Eric gave you a good example of one of the issues that Phase 1 identified. I just want to point out, in addition to that, as it says in his presentation, there's also recommendations, and the recommendations are intended to be carried forward to Phase 2. They're about methodology. They're about the best way to thoroughly conduct the evaluation in Phase 2 based on what we learned in Phase 1. Okay. And then he will also take you through in the later part of his presentation, some of the enhancements to the DCM and FSAR. Okay. All of that was reported out broadly on September 17th.
Could you give me a sense for how many findings and recommendations there were?
For findings, there were at least four. For recommendations, I believe the last number, if I counted them individually, was approximately 23 or 24 individual recommendations.
Okay. Did any of those involve where you identified inconsistencies in the documentation?
Yes, sir. One of them in particular was an inconsistency between the technical specification basis document and the FSAR and the DCM associated with a phase A isolation. The design criteria memorandum and the FSAR was correct, but there was an inconsistency in the BASES document for the technical specifications.
Thank you.
Phase two project scope.
A couple more questions on this slide here. What help me understand the difference between a finding and a recommendation?
A finding would be something where it was identified that there was an inconsistency or an issue with our licensing basis. A recommendation would be something where we said a lot of them were associated with implementing phase two of the project. For example, we recommend that the phase one recommended that the phase two implement it on a system basis initially, but they also recommended that we go on
to optimize our methodology, to learn about the best way to do this in a thorough manner. So the recommendations that Eric's referring to primarily are consistent with that approach. The findings are more inconsistencies and that sort of thing.
So each of the findings would have been entered into the corrective action program for resolution?
That is correct.
So out of the... am I to believe then that out of the review of component cooling water and auxiliary feed water, then there were only four corrective action documents initiated as a result of those reviews?
That is correct.
Okay.
When the Executive Oversight Board reviews the recommendations and approves the recommendations, we will also implement those into the corrective action program for tracking as well. Okay. Phase two scope. Phase two is chartered with implementing phase one recommendations, including any outstanding actions from phase one. We will be reviewing and evaluating the remaining portions of the final safety analysis report. And we have begun preliminary licensing review and data compilation for the 230 kilovolt system, and that started in August of this year. Phase two scope also includes performing reviews modeled after the component design basis reviews using NRC inspection procedure 71111.21 as a guide on eight risk significant systems. And we will perform those CDBRs after the corresponding system licensing review is complete. Those systems that will be reviewed are the component cooling water system, the 230 kilovolt system, the 500 kilovolt system, emergency diesel generators, auxiliary feed water, solid state protection system, residual heat removal, and the auxiliary saltwater system. Phase two scope will also include the correction of any identified inconsistencies in the current licensing basis document databases and implementation of a full text search tool. And I want to emphasize at this point that the licensing basis verification project is going to be updating the FSAR as we progress. And as I stated earlier, it will be initially on a system basis. Therefore, we will be improving the clarity and the quality of the
for the two systems done so far. And there are numerous, as you go through there, and he'll provide you more detail, but there are numerous clarifications making it just crystal clear how general design criteria are met for this system, those sorts of enhancements. So those are also part of the product of the effort, in addition to the findings and the recommendations. Those are substantial improvements.
I have a couple more clarifying questions. On the prior slide where you talked about identified and reviewed 5059 screens, that sub-bullet there, that's all, everything in there was reviewed back to initial plant licensing coming forward, or was there a date range in there?
The screens would go back to after our initial, when we were issued our initial license.
Okay, so the entire history then following initial licensing. Okay. And then on the current slide, the second bullet on the evaluate remaining portions of the FSAR, now I was looking at something else. What's the background or the context behind that? You plan to review the entire scope of the FSAR?
That is correct.
For all systems, not just the ones listed on this slide.
That is correct. The systems listed on this slide are the ones where we are going to be doing, in addition to the FSAR review and validation of the licensing basis, we will also be following up after that licensing basis is verified with a component design basis review. So those are the eight systems that will get a component design license basis review, but the entire FSAR will be verified.
Okay. And then, Jim, just to follow up on a comment you made with respect to FSAR enhancements, what type of licensing process are you thinking about going through to add those enhancements to the FSAR?
We would use the 5059 process. And so if we determine that the scope would require prior NRC approval, then that's where that will take us. And if not, it would go straight to the FSAR revision. Just it's the same process as we would use for any other FSAR change.
The next slide depicts the current licensing basis verification project organization. I wanted to point out a few key items on this slide, perspective, including self-assessments and oversight. The technical support team, which is the box on the upper left, or first box on the left there, that would include the contractor organization and also includes a dedicated senior reactor operator from our operations department. The quality assurance block, on this project, we will have full-time quality verification oversight, a dedicated person specifically for that purpose. The review board includes members with senior licensing experience and some with previous NRC experience. The DCPP support staff will include system and design engineers who will be rotated from the line organizations to the project to review contractor-developed system review packages, the component design basis reviews, the FSAR and the DCM updates, and to provide a good knowledge transfer to ensure that the products and the understandings that were created by the project are permeated through the organization and are be able to be used going forward.
Could you give me a sense a little bit of how many people each block entails? Like for phase one, how many people were involved with that?
For phase one, we probably had, I want to say, 10 to 12 people, I believe. We will have a much larger, but it was a longer time frame and a smaller effort. So mm-hmm. For phase two, it will be significantly more. I would say at the height, it would be 50 people working on the project.
Right. Thank you.
The next slide is the licensing basis verification discovery / problem identification process. This slide shows how we handle questions identified during the discovery process. It shows how we get from a question to where it transitions into the corrective action program. And I want to emphasize that at any time, if we determine that there is a problem, we will immediately ensure that the problem is entered into the corrective action process and program. So again, this is really an overview of the process for screening items. So if you look at the block up in the upper right, I can see if I can get this with the pointer. And it's not working, okay. The program have an operability determination made on that and also a reportability determination made on that. So I just wanted to point that slide out.
So what's the time frame between I have a question and it gets into the corrective action system?
The maximum time that we have allowed is 30 days for that. We hope to have it sooner, but that we have allowed a maximum time for 30 days. One other thing I wanted to mention that you isn't identified on this slide but is inherent to this entire process are the planned independent assessments and the quality verification oversight.
So help me understand why you wouldn't just enter it into the corrective action program when the question is identified.
Part of the process, we have a very, very complicated licensing basis. So part of the process is as I review the documentation, we want to ensure that we understand the inconsistency represents. And that's why we need the time to review that as a holistically.
Yeah, I have a level of difficulty with waiting up to 30 days to get something entered into the corrective action system.
Yeah, and we can talk about that more. One thing I will point out to you, as I said in my opening comments, we have benchmarked this against the industry. This approach and these time frames are consistent with what others have used. I think Eric gave you a good summary of why we're taking that approach. Some of these issues, many of these issues, are going to be complex in nature. So each one will get identified through the process and tracked. And then once we have an accurate characterization, that's what we would put into the corrective action program.
Yeah, notwithstanding the complexity of the design basis and the licensing basis at the facility, when problems or questions are identified that challenge that, the licensed operators need to have an opportunity to weigh in on how that impacts operability of safety systems. I think a 30-day delay challenges their ability to be able to do that.
Just as a clarification, Troy, I think what we're trying to say is we're going to have this, the SRO as part of the team all along, so we make sure as any issue comes up and we become aware of an issue, he will be engaged as part of the team to make sure we get that to the control room and in the corrective action program as appropriate. Many of the issues that Eric...
Provide them as a perspective on the scope and the breadth of the review that we are going to be performing. I do want to highlight two particular items on this particular slide. The first one being the very first bullet, which is the original FSAR Amendment 85, which again represents the point in time which we received our operating license. Through the current FSAR updates, we will be looking as part of this at all of the changes that have been made to the FSAR since Amendment 85 to the original FSAR. And part of the thoroughness of the review will also include the item on the last bullet, which is the original safety evaluation report, or SER, and the supplemental SERs. On the next slide, there are two particular areas I want to highlight. The first being...
Can I go back to that flow chart for a second? On that right-hand side, you had the LBVP research licensing basis. This is in response to the question that has been put on the table, right? That takes some amount of time, and then it goes to a review board?
Correct.
Is that review board that meets as needed? It's a set frequency?
Both.
Both.
It will be a set frequency and an as-needed basis.
So what the purpose of the review board at this step in the process is to do what?
The step of the review board is to provide senior licensing guidance to make a determination of what the issue is, to help provide that for both the contractor and for the personnel doing that work.
So if at the research licensing basis block, I determine that the inconsistency it's a valid inconsistency that needs to be resolved.
It would be entered into the corrective action program, as we stated, if they validated at that point.
Right, but I have to go through two more layers of review just to initiate the...
No, sir. As I mentioned earlier, any time in the process we identify that there is a problem, we will enter that into the correction action program immediately. That review board is more for items which are very complex and perhaps it's not clear what the inconsistency is or whether there is one. That's what that review board is intended for.
Okay, thanks.
So the two items on this slide in particular I wanted to highlight. The first is the general design criteria and regulatory guide compliance. This is one of the key areas that we are looking for significantly enhanced clarity in our FSAR is associated with the general design criteria and the regulatory guides. And we also wanted to point out we are all information with the source documents. We will be doing a comparison of the FSAR with the DCMs, in particular with the licensing basis information section. We will do a project review and evaluation of findings. We will have a project review board evaluation of potential inconsistencies, a management review board of the recommendations of the project review board, and as I mentioned and has been questioned, we will have utilization of the Diablo Canyon corrective action program throughout the entire process. Phase one status. So as I mentioned earlier, phase one is 95% complete with the licensing reviews for CCW and AFW. As part of that, we've reviewed over 5,000 documents. We have prepared a draft enhanced FSAR and DCM for both systems. We have developed and approved numerous project task guides for performing licensing data retrieval and compilation. We have captured numerous process learnings and enhancements, including recommendations for the component licensing basis enhancement and full text search capabilities. We have performed a preliminary report out to PG&E management of the Phase 1 findings and recommendations, and the Phase 1 final report will be issued by October 31st of this year.
Will that report include all of the questions that were asked that needed to be resolved to make a determination as to whether or not they needed entry into the corrective action program?
I would need to get back to you on the specifics of that. I mean, you're asking the question, is every single question that was asked during phase one captured and logged in there? We do have an open action, open item list that we had been tracking. I don't know specifically whether we probably won't include that entire list in the final report, though.
So for future NRC inspection, I mean, we would want to see how those questions were resolved and dispositioned, especially those that were excluded from the corrective action program.
We can do that.
And as a result of the phase one that you've done so far, were any modifications to the facility identified either because you need to correct the licensing or design basis or because of obsolescence issues where you needed to modernize the facility?
No.
No modifications?
No modifications.
All right.
If I could ask, I just want to ensure I'm looking at the flow chart right. For all the questions that were identified, does QA take a look at all?
To status. For phase two, the contract with the vendor has been signed. We have selected Shaw Stone and Webster, which is one company, partnered with Westinghouse to be the primary implementer of the project. The contractor staff will start arriving on site later this month. Planning for phase two work is in progress, including development of the overall project schedule. Efforts are already underway to address current licensing basis document database inconsistencies. Design and programming efforts for the enhanced full text search tool for the current licensing basis are already underway. And as I stated earlier, we have started initial work on the research for the 230 kV system. FSAR and DCM enhancements. The FSAR and the DCM represent the two largest products that will come out as a result of implementing this project. Therefore, they represent key efforts for Diablo Canyon. The FSAR enhancements include a clarification of the general design criteria compliance by system. We will also be clarifying our regulatory guide compliance by system as well. And I also want to emphasize at this point that we will be enhancing the entire FSAR, not just the system basis. We're also working to establish a hyperlink to the system descriptions in the design criteria memorandum and to our licensing basis source documents. Again, that is all related to ease and use and searchability of the current licensing basis. We will be reviewing the changes that have been made to the FSAR, the basis for the changes, and we will be correcting any identified inconsistencies. Once again, I want to emphasize that we will not be waiting until the end of the project to provide an enhanced FSAR or enhanced DCMs. We will be updating the FSAR and the DCMs as we go, and we will be submitting LARs as necessary throughout the project. Similarly, the DCM enhancements will include an enhanced licensing basis discussion, and we're working to have hyperlinks to the licensing basis source documents. The last slide I'd like to cover are the milestones for the licensing basis verification project. Also in March of 2011, we are scheduled to complete enhancements of the current licensing basis electronic document databases, and the full text search tool will go into production. The final completion of the project is scheduled to be in December of 2014.
One thing I'd like to add here, I don't think Eric has talked about sort of the magnitude of the scopes of phase one and phase two, but you can get an idea from looking at these dates. The magnitude, the scope of phase two is much, much greater than phase one. Phase one was just two systems, did not include any of the component design basis reviews. So phase two scope is much, much more than phase one. Just wanted to be clear about that.
Okay, now I'll briefly describe our efforts to enhance our execution of evaluations and their thoroughness. As Jim mentioned at the start, we did perform a cause analysis to determine the root cause of our issues related to thoroughness of evaluations. As we turn to the next slide, you can see a summary of that root cause analysis. So we determined that the root cause was a need for enhanced program standards and reinforcement against those standards. And when I say program standards, I'm primarily talking about our procedures, the procedures that govern the implementation of our programs that involve evaluation. And reinforcement against those standards is the coaching that the leadership team does. Jim mentioned oversight. It's to ensure that we are using those standards in the performance of our evaluations. The second bullet there lists a contributing cause, and the contributing cause ties directly into the license basis verification project that Eric just described. So a contributing cause is the need to enhance our licensing basis documentation, its consistency, its clarity, and its retrievability. And the specific link there is in the evaluations that we do, whether they're a 50-59 evaluation, whether they're an operability determination, a key piece of documentation that's used to perform those evaluations is the FSAR, the updated FSAR. So the direct answer, and I'll start with the second bullet because it addresses that question. So one thing we identified in how we conduct our programs and the standards that our procedures lay out for us, we did not have an overarching guidance document or procedure to describe how we would keep our programs and processes up to date. So that second bullet has two parts. It revised our individual program procedures, and we also created a new station procedure that provides specific guidance for maintaining our programs up to date. So, for example, we did not require that our operability program procedure be periodically reviewed against the key industry standard, which is your agency's document part 9900. Now, with the overarching governance procedure, we require that each of our individual programs specify a periodic review to assess that we're keeping it up and adjust it to the current state of the art in the industry. And so the Part 9900 guidance and operability is just one example, but that applies to our 5059 program, and there's an industry guidance document related to that and all the other programs.
Okay, so in follow-up with Troy's question, is going back to the, you know, the root. So the root cause for the problems in the whole evaluation area was that the programs, multiple programs, not just one program, right, that the standards were not being met, not documented, and not reinforced. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a piece of it. The other piece, and again, staying with the action slide, these are the various pieces of that. So the third item on the page, metrics or performance indicators, that's a piece of the root cause that directly links to the leadership oversight that Jim talked about. So in other words, not only did we not have an overarching procedure that required periodic assessment, we also did not have a standard and a metric observable to the leadership team to validate whether we were periodically assessing our program or to provide
a sense for some of the metrics that you're going to have?
Sure. So in the operability determination process, for example, we've defined a composite index. So we would quantify that and say perfect performance would be a score of 100. And as we go through our reviews of operability determinations, and the fourth bullet on the slide is challenge board. So in this case, our operations manager chairs a review board that meets daily and reviews all operability determinations done the previous day. So if we have, through that review board process, identify comments with an operability determination, we get a lower score. We subtract points, actually, in our performance indicator for operabilities. And depending on the nature of the comments, the more substantive the comments, the more points we deduct. So, for example, if the review board had comments that actually changed the conclusion of an operability, that would be a significant detraction from that overall score. And so we build a score like that for each of our key programs, and that becomes an aggregate for how we performed in that program for the month.
Thank you.
So that
I had a follow-on to the example that you provided on OPIVAL procedure, about there not being a process to go periodically update that procedure. The NRC's guidance on operability evaluations, that was issued in a regulatory issue summary, which by all rights should have been entered into the OP program, evaluated for applicability, and then led to procedure updates, standard updates, those types of things.
That's correct, and it was at one time used, as were things like the 5059 program procedure. So there's an industry-wide recognized document that provides a standard that's in NEI document 9607. But prior to this new program governance procedure, that could have been a one-point-in-time review. So now what we require by our governance document is to periodically assess. So we'll be required to go back and periodically review the part not had the skill to perform well. Operability determinations is one example. The other example that Jim previously mentioned was 5059 process. So everybody on site that has a qualification to perform a 5059 evaluation underwent revised training to our new procedure and the NEI guidance document so that everybody has the same base of skill in performing those evaluations. And that was completed for everybody with a 5059 qualification, or else we did not continue their 5059 qualifications. And that training was provided by an industry-recognized expert.
Ken, in addition to these programmatic issues and the lack of specific metrics that you've described here, did you identify any station attitudes or behaviors that contributed to the overall problem evaluation issue?
Regarding behaviors, there is a portion of this cause. One of the key evaluation programs is the cause analysis program. So when we perform root causes, or when we perform apparent causes. And those cause evaluations are required to look at organizational issues, cultural issues, as you described them. So one of the key actions from the root cause is to provide additional training and qualification for folks who perform cause analysis to ensure that we are appropriately addressing organizational performance issues when we do cause analysis. And then the last bullet on the slide here is the license basis verification project itself, as we just described with Eric. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Jim.
Thank you, Ken. So I want to provide some closing comments here. That does complete the material of our presentation tonight. Starting with Eric's review of LBVP, I believe he did a good job reviewing, and from that you should have a good understanding of the methodology we're using going forward and of the scope of this project. I want to repeat that as a company, this is a large commitment, and we have taken that commitment on, and we are going to complete this commitment in a quality manner. A few points I want to make about this effort. The first is that we will use the corrective action program,
into the corrective action program as part of that process, and that's why, that's the primary reason why we have a senior reactor operator on this team. We will disposition operability using the appropriate tool, whether that's dispositioning in the notification, doing a prompt operability assessment, et cetera. We recognize that that is a key part of the process, and that is a part that we will execute on. And then finally, to give some perspective on Ken's review about actions to improve evaluation thoroughness. Ken took you through a number of processes and a number of enhancements to our tools, to our oversight, et cetera. And I think Michael had a question about behaviors. Here's how I would look at that. The tools and the process and changes and enhancements that Ken took you through, those are tools that we will use as leaders. The behaviors that we will exhibit as leaders and are exhibiting now is to use those tools to drive improvements in those programs. That's part of our jobs as leaders. So the behavior is a leadership behavior to use those tools effectively, and that's what we're committed to doing. So with that, that completes my conclusion to our presentation, and that concludes PG&E's presentation this evening.
Thanks. It was it's a good start for the NRC in terms of our oversight and responsibility as a regulator to get briefed in on what you've accomplished to date and where you plan to go. I know Tom's here tonight specifically to get some early input and indications as to where you've been and where you'll go. I know he and his team are being tasked with developing a plan to independently assess the veracity of the licensing basis for review project and plan. So with that, Tom will need some key points of contact that he can communicate with to establish some type of periodic teleconference and some on-site inspection activity. I did jot down a couple areas that I'll pass along to Tom now that I would definitely want him to follow up on that we touched on a little bit today. The adequacy of the root cause analysis and the corrective actions for the P1 Charlie or the evaluation of problems at the station, that's something that Tom will need to take a look at. A particular focus on those items that are being screened into the corrective action program and those that are. I appreciate you taking the time tonight to explain to us where you are and where you're going. Tony?
Thanks, Troy. I'm going to provide closing remarks, but I have a closing question. In the area of evaluation, that's been an ongoing issue, and you've taken actions in the last year or so in trying to improve performance in that area. Where do you think you're at right now? You know, I know the LVDTs have just got started, going to have an impact in the future, but where are you at right now in that area, I guess, is the station in the evaluation?
So the question is, where do we see ourselves, where do I see us from a standpoint of problem evaluation? There's a few things I would tell you, Mr. Vagel. The first is that we are certainly not done, and we are not yet where we want to be in terms of performance, so I would say that. If we look at the metrics that Ken Peters talked about, we see evidence in the metrics that we have shown improvement in several of these programs. When we talk about problem evaluation, as Ken described, there are many programs there, right? So in general, I'd say that we see evidence in several of the programs of some improvements occurring, and we can give you more details offline on that. But we're certainly not done, and we've got more work to do. So we're not satisfied with where we're at. We do think the actions that we're taking are the right actions, and we see evidence of some improvement in those programs. I'll give you one example. In operability determination space, the level of scrutiny that's being applied to operability determinations, the entry of any deficiencies in those determinations into the corrective action program is something that I see happening, you know, practically, certainly whenever it's necessary, and practically on a daily basis, I see some sort of entry into CAP about our oversight of that program. So that right there is evidence of an improved behavior, getting back to Michael Peck's earlier question.
It's clear, it is a substantial effort, this whole licensee basis verification project. And it's going to take, it's prolonged, but make sure you take the time, too, to look into each phase and see what you can learn. Because no plan costs as people either move on. And because you always want people to be questioning and asking a question and have a strong base, understanding of the design basis. So I think that's an important piece
I think every one of your comments is right on the money. A little perspective on that. This is a very large project, so I have no doubt that as we go forward in phase two, we'll be adjusting to get the best product as necessary as we go. We'll be learning more things as we go in terms of how we manage this project. Of that, I have no doubt. You talked about knowledge transfer. This is actually an opportunity for us in terms of knowledge transfer. We see this as one path to bring some new employees actually into the organization. They will learn through helping to run this project, and that's a great stepping stone to other positions within Diablo Canyon. So that's actually one of the other benefits we expect to get out of this. And then in terms of independence, I will tell you that one of the reasons we selected the company we did is we were convinced that they could do a very good job of being an independent performer of this project. And that was one of the reasons we selected the company we did.
Okay, good. Yep. So with that, you have a very good plan. I think it's, if implemented appropriately, should make a difference. But we're going to not judge it on this meeting, but as Troy alluded to, we're going to continue our inspections, and it's going to be a performance. Is what the performance that we see is going to be the true judge of the effectiveness of this effort. So with that, Jack.
Thank you, Tony. With that, this concludes the business portion of the meeting. We'll now take a 10-minute break, during which we will have the question cards available for you to fill out. After the break, we'll come back and have a question and answer period. Thank you very much.
Boy, we're already having a good discussion. No, but the way that with the format, we were primarily, this is an opportunity for you all to ask questions of the NRC. But if there is questions that is kind of outside our purview that PG&E can address, they are going to be here. But primarily the Q&A portion is for the NRC. But if you have a question, Tony, I think we can start off.
Well, let's get started.
I want to read it.
Sure.
I want to ask them.
Please stand up. State your name, affiliation, okay. Please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Oh, you got to hold it. So, Liz Affelberg, Mothers for Peace. My question has to do with the phase one status slide and the phase one final report, which will be issued the end of next month. My question is, will the report be available to the public? And if so, and how and where will it be able to be accessed?
So the question is, will the report be available to the public? I will tell you that right now that's not our intent. most documents that we produce at PG&E or at Diablo Canyon are not public documents. NRC will be inspecting against our progress, and I believe any inspection reports or findings they issue will be public documents. But it's not our intent right now for our reports or our progress to be public documents. That's not our normal course of business.
My name is Linda Seeley. I'm with the Mothers for Peace, and I also have a question for PG&E. To summarize, first of all, you said that a lot of these problems, you called them legacy problems, that were over 3 years old and went back to possibly the initial licensing period of the plant. What was missing was an overarching. I have a note here, if I can find it. Wait a minute. Okay, so it sounds like the issues are basically kind of ones of communication among people, different parts of your organization. There was no overarching strategy. You mentioned there were eight systems that you are analyzing. Are there eight systems in all, or are there more than eight systems?
There's more than eight systems.
Okay, there's more than, but you're only going to analyze eight of them in this thing? No?
Actually, my understanding of the presentation was that they're going to review every system that's in the final safety analysis report. They will perform a component design basis review after all of that is completed, and they will pick eight, they have chosen eight of those systems to do a component design basis review, kind of like an independent inspection audit of what was performed, but they will do the license basis verification of every system.
Okay, so you'll go through every single system, you'll pick out eight, you'll do a thorough analysis of those and make sure that everything is hunky-dory with those, right? And that if there are any problems, that you address those problems and fix them and everything. And then you're going to make this gigantic database, right, that where, like, you can type in anything into this database and you'll find out, like, how this affects every single other part of this gigantic system. Is that kind of right? Sort of? Okay, and this thing is going to be finished by December of 2014, correct?
Yeah, I don't have. Based on the presentation, that was what they put in the slides. So.
I think the way you summarized the scope of the project was pretty much it. You said it will complete in 2014.
Pretty soon, I thought. But anyway, these problems that you've had, when we were talking about the root causes of the problems, you didn't have an overriding document. There was leadership oversight. There was no standard or metric to evaluate things by. There were all of these problems that you're acting as if they used to exist, and now they're all good. But this is the same plant. This is the same people. This is the same place as has existed there since 1984 and 1985, well, 1967. So why should we as a public actually have any faith? The question is, why should we have any faith that this very complex plan that you're planning to give to the NRC to prove them to them that you've got it all together. How are we supposed to believe this when it seems to me, although I must give you credit for trying, but seems like window dressing. Sorry. Tell me how I can believe what you're saying. Thank you.
Okay. You asked, you know, how can you believe what we're saying? I mean, we are making a commitment to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, partially by means of this meeting right here, that we are going to be performing this project, and that's exactly what we are doing. It's a significant commitment on the part of the company. We started down this path in the spring. We've been doing what we said we were going to do. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission will be inspecting us against the progress we're making here, and we'll go on accordingly. So we're committing to do it. We are going to do it. The NRC will be inspecting us as we do it. That's what we intend to do. That's what we're going to do.
Thanks. Next question. Gene?
Well, I kind of have a follow-up question to that. Actually, I have a lot of questions. But she brought up the legacy issue. And I know that the fire protection system has been a problem for more than 3 years. You made it sound like there weren't any problems that you
had. Or things that need to be made, you know, more clear, things like that. So we will find inconsistencies. We will find them and we will correct them. That's what a healthy organization does, right? It looks for issues and it looks to resolve things. And that's really what this LBVP, this project, is all about. So it's a multi-year project. We will do it thoroughly. We will identify some issues that we need to find and correct. That's what we've been doing for the 25 years we've been operating Diablo Canyon. That's what any well-run organization does. It finds issues and corrects them. You do not improve your performance by denying that you have any issues. We are not doing that. We are going after the issues. We're going to find them and we're going to correct them. That's what this project is about.
I understand that you're doing that now, but you told us that none of these issues were known to you that have been more than 3 years old. And that was the question I asked you, and I would like answered. I believe that there were some issues that were more than 3 years old that were known to you and that have not been resolved, including the fire protection system.
Yeah. When we identify issues at the plant, we enter them in our corrective action program. We prioritize them and we address them accordingly. Some of the issues that we find by doing a project like this, you say, was known to us. Certainly the design of the system and the licensing basis of the system, certainly it is known to us. But to identify, like we talked about before, inconsistencies between one document and another, that takes some detailed review. So when we identify those sorts of issues, yeah, you could say, this was known to you. You knew you had this system. You knew you had this document. But some of these issues are fairly subtle issues. The fire protection issue that you're referring to, I don't know the details of that specific example, so I can't give you more detail on that. That's the best answer I can give you.
I just want to, Jim, you are a NFPA 805 plant, is that correct? So with respect to the fire protection issues, right, which is what your concern was, existing. Or make modifications to the facility to correct those deficiencies. So that's something that the NRC has inspected several times in the recent past at Diablo Canyon to ensure that those are on the process for resolution.
Okay. And then a real quick question. On slide number 9, You indicated, you said perform reviews modeled after component design basis reviews using NRC inspection procedure, blah, 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 as a guide on 8 risk significant systems. Exactly how do you define the risk significant systems? What places it in that category?
So Diablo Canyon, as all plants, has what's called a probabilistic risk assessment, which is an analysis that supports the operation of the plant. And what that allows us to do is rank our plant systems. These are technical systems in the plant, right? It allows us to rank those systems by their safety significance. Some systems are more safety significant than others. Some systems, are not part of the safety design of the plant. So when we talk about the risk significance, what we are saying is, using that ranking, we are doing this component design basis review on those systems that have the most safety significance based on our previous analysis. So we're going after the most safety significant systems.
Actually, I had a question related to that. Who's going to perform the component design basis review?
As Eric said, we've awarded the contract, and that organization will be doing the CDBR.
I guess I want to understand the people that are performing the component design basis review, basically doing the NRC inspection procedure. Are those the same people that are doing the phase one and phase two? In other words, are the people that are doing the component design basis review independent of the people that actually did the phase one and phase two analysis?
Oh, independent from the licensing basis review, is that what you mean?
That's correct.
Eric?
I don't know that we would say they would be completely independent. We would have to look at that individually.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a few very short factual questions. On slide 3, Jane Swanson, active with San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace. On slide 3, the word...
Looking at things with a fresh set of eyes. So examples of that in the way we're going to perform the project, we've brought in a contractor these are people that are coming in with a fresh set of eyes who have expertise in this area. They're going to be doing the bulk of the work in the project. That's one aspect of what I was talking about. We have a quality verification representative on the team. QV is, by their nature, by their charter, an independent organization, so they will be providing oversight of it. And then finally, we will be doing assessments, externally sourced assessments, at points in time in the project to make sure that we're doing a thorough job, that we're uncovering everything we can uncover, et cetera, and that's another aspect of independence. So that's what it meant to have that on that slide.
Thank you. So I'm interpreting that as objective. Objective eyes and independence as being at least synonyms.
Certainly we want to be objective, absolutely. But the reason I use the word independent is there is value in having a fresh set of eyes look at things, right? So that's what I was trying to convey there.
Good. Thank you. And then on slide 13, there was a term not defined. What is a licensing position white paper?
Those are plant documents where if we had a question, we would provide a licensing evaluation or a white paper. It's really white paper in that context is better describing how the license works for Diablo Canyon.
Okay. Third objective question is... Tom, there was such interesting things that Troy described your role, and that was all news to me. I was on the edge of my seat. Could you give a brief overview of your job description related to this?
Well, I'm kind of at the beginning, actually. This meeting really is kind of the beginning of the process. And so my job is going to be to develop a plan going forward as the licensee goes through their project. We will be monitoring that as they go. We'll be getting copies of their reports, copies of the condition reports, that sort of thing. and then periodically do on-site inspections and just continuously be plugged into the process so that we know exactly what they're doing, and then independently verify that what they're coming up with is appropriate, and if they're not missing.
One of the items that he oversees is the implementation of the component design basis inspection that's essentially is the process they're talking about using for the CDBR review. Tom's group does that at five facilities a year. So he's very familiar with that process, and that's why he's being chartered by us to oversee the implementation of this project.
Okay, thank you. And then this is a historic event. I'm going to say something positive about the NRC. But the two most NRC meetings, for those of us who are community activists, are extremely frustrating. And I'm not saying that everything's perfect and lovely, but this is good communications. The other NRC meeting that, in my personal opinion, was as complete in giving information, like you asked a question and you get an answer that's specific, that's happening tonight. And the special meeting on the misaligned valve, was that a year and a half ago or something, that also was of that nature. So I would hope that the positives of this type of meeting could be emulated in some of the other NRC meetings where they're not emulated thus far. One suggestion for future meetings of any kind, well, of this nature, there was no real agenda for this one, and as soon as I got the public announcement, I did bug your friends at Region 4, and I said, I'm looking on the website, I'll just see your announcement, I don't see any agenda. So, you know, our questions here from myself and my friends of Mothers for Peace have been not extremely efficiently phrased because we were scrambling. We got the slides yesterday, but before that we were guessing at the content and it wasn't productive. So anyway, I just like to ask for more of an agenda. If not the slides last week would have been nice, but if that wasn't possible, at least a list of what we could expect, because I was reading up on all the wrong things. So we'd appreciate a little more information in advance if possible.
No, that's good feedback for us, and we'll try to improve in that area. Thank you.
Any more questions? June.
I just have one more question. Your identification chart on page 11, what makes you think this process will work? There was also some information I got that said that the licensee, meaning PG&E, participated in a recent industry-wide study on time-critical operator actions, but did not implement any of the group's recommendations. But now you're saying that you are benchmarking this with several plants who have done this in the past. Why weren't you doing these things in the past? And how can you assure us that human error is not going to be a factor again?
So the reason we're doing the project now, well, actually we started it in the spring, but the reason we started it in the spring of 2010 and not at some earlier time is as the issues with problem evaluation were raised, and they were raised by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, we did take those issues in to our corrective action program. We came up with approaches to address them. One of the examples of that I talked about in my presentation earlier today was that 50-59 process. So many of the issues that were being identified a couple of years ago tended to align more with that process. So we went hard after that process and have driven improvements to it. However, as we looked at the population of issues that had been identified, it became clear over a period of time that some of the issues had their roots in what has been described as legacy, or however you want to describe it. It has to do with the licensing basis of the plant and the fact that there were some inconsistencies in it. There were things that needed to be made clearer. So that became clear. That issue came to be seen by us as we continue to work on improving and continue to have some issues. So that's how we got there. We also did the root cause that Ken referred to, and we did the root cause. It said, yes, we need to improve our program performance, and Ken took you through some of the steps we're doing there. It also recognized, you know, some of this is because there is a lack of clarity in some of your licensing basis, our licensing basis, and we need to go after that. So that's how we got there now this year.
All right, one more.
I'm glad that you're finally doing this. Facility had not filed for relicensing of the plant.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Category.
Starting at the spring at the same time that relicensing was filed.
I described, you know, how we arrived at this time frame. How we got there is the way I described it, and we would be doing this independent of that. That is a true statement.
Any more questions? Okay.
Sorry, we got one more question.
What were the four findings?
I believe the question is for the four findings from the phase one of the licensing basis verification project.
We can follow up if you need more. The two that I mentioned, one was the gross failed fuel detector where we removed that from service. The second was an inconsistency between the technical basis document, the technical specification basis document, and our FSAR and DCM. And to be honest, I don't remember the other two, but if we can provide that information.
Okay, with that, if there are no more questions, and hearing none, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight. We really appreciate your time and attention, and with that, this meeting is adjourned. We'll be available again if anybody would like to come up and talk after the meeting. Thank you all very much.